Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
All right, you guys ready to be hard chargers? So did you? Did anyone see the movie from back in 1999 called Mystery Men? You're like, I wasn't even born then. Maybe it's on Netflix. I don't know. The movie is set in a Gotham kind of city. It's a make-believe city that has bad, evil masterminds. And as Gotham cities are prone to do, a superhero. Problem is that the superhero has been taken hostage and is unavailable, and you know what happens when the superhero is unavailable. The world is put in jeopardy. Someone is needed to save the world. Fortunately, there's this guy named Roy, and Roy, played by Ben Stiller, decides to take it upon himself to do just that. He's going to save the world. He feels like he has superhero kind of abilities in the area of anger. He can't fly or jump tall buildings. He doesn't have x-ray vision, but he's got a lot of anger stored up in him. Roy realizes that he can't save the world alone, and so he has tryouts for a superhero team. The people who come, they're not very impressive options. Like, one of them is Waffle Man. He comes at you with a waffle iron and So they gather this team together, and each team member is to contribute to the mission of saving the world with their superpowers. It's not easy. Saving the world never is. And the odds are stacked against them. They face all kinds of obstacles. In fact, at one point, they're all feeling defeated, and they're deciding, should we just quit? Or maybe we should continue to go for it. Here's that scene.
6. 6. What in heaven's name do we do?
Sometimes the true hero is the one with the courage to run away.
I like the way this man thinks.
Let's run.
We can't run.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's been established that we can run.
This is egg salad. It's loaded with cholesterol. The wife won't even let me touch it. Hardly seems to matter now, because chances are we're already dead. Amazing is gone. There's no use waiting for the cavalry, because as of this moment, the cavalry is us.
Oh, yeah, but I don't want to get fraculated.
Psycho-fraculated.
Still get fraculated.
This is our fight, whether we like it or not. Just we few. We're not your classic superheroes. We're not the favorites. We're the other guys. We're the guys nobody ever bets on. But I'll tell you what I think. I think you and that ball of yours have an appointment that you've got to keep. Invisible Boy, I think it's time you were seen. Sphinx, you have trained us well. And Dr. Heller, you might just have given us the edge we need. And Spleen, I don't want to stand behind you, but I'll fight beside you with pride. Jeff, you've got a rare and beautiful gift. The city needs you tonight. And Roy, in all the years I've known you, I've never seen you walk away from a fight. Why, you lifted a city bus once, man. I think you've got what it takes to handle Casanova. We're all in over our heads, and we know it. But if we take on this fight, those of us who survive it will forever after show our scars with pride and say, "That's right, I was there. I fought the good fight." So what do you say? Do we all gather together and go kick some Casanova butt? Or do I eat this sandwich?
I say, what the fork? Let's do it.
Yeah! Well, it's kind of a silly movie, but it's closer to reality than you might imagine. Because in some ways, the world is in jeopardy. Like, there are so many people who are living without God, without love, without hope. A lot of kids are growing up without the attention and mentoring they need because their parents just can't give it to them. So many people are struggling with addiction. People, especially in our city, are living lonely lives. marriages falling apart, people drowning in debt, needing help with their finances. The world is in jeopardy, and someone needs to save it. And God has chosen you. He's chosen, I'm not kidding. God has chosen you, even though your superhero powers may not be that impressive. God has chosen you, and he knows that you can't save the world alone, and so he put you on a team. That's what the church is. It's God's team come together to do God's work. Each team member is to contribute with the abilities and resources they have to the mission God's given us of saving the world. It's actually a great plan, but there's a problem. The problem is that most people, most Christians, most churchgoers, instead of stepping up, will kind of shrink back. I mean, they're all called, but in most churches, only about 20% of the people serve, and only about 20% of the people give. And God is calling each one of us to have more impact. In this new series we're starting today called Hard Charger, you're going to see that not only is this what God wants for you, really it's what you want for you. But because this is what's going to allow your life to make a real difference in this world and for all eternity. This is what's going to lead you to be filled with joy. And good news, this is a very real possibility for you. But again, danger is, instead of stepping up as we've been called to do, we might just make excuses and shrink back. And I want to show you someone in the Bible who did exactly that. His name was Moses. Maybe you've heard of Moses. He is one of the most high-impact, influential, greatest leaders our world has ever known. He was a hard charger, but he didn't start that way. And so we're going to meet him in a Bible book called Exodus chapter 3. We'll put all the Bible verses on the screen. We also give out free Bibles if you want to take one for home today. So here's the context. There are about 2 million people, which is the population of our city, right, held in slavery by the Egyptians. These people are known as the Hebrew people or the Israelites, and they've been enslaved for hundreds of years. The Israelites were the only people in the world back then who believed in and worshiped the one true God. They needed someone to save them. Well, this guy Moses, growing up, he was adopted by the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and raised in the palace. And at one point, he had tried to kind of do something about it because he was actually an Israelite and he knew that. And he tried to help his people, but he failed miserably. So he ran, left Egypt, started a new life, got a job as a sheep herder, got married, had kids, joined a fantasy football league. And he's just kind of living his life. And then on one ordinary day, this is what happens. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Okay, so God calls Moses. God tells Moses that he has a part to play in God's mission. And God has called you. And he has told you that you have a part to play in God's mission. Now, Moses' call was dramatic, right? A burning bush and an audible voice. Your call will not be so dramatic. It doesn't need to be because you have a Bible. Moses didn't. And so God had to speak audibly to let Moses know that he was called. But throughout the Bible, dozens and dozens of times, God has let you already know that you have been called to serve and to become a leader. And there are different ways you might be called to lead. You may be a parent and called to lead in your home. You might lead some people at your job or some role that you play in our community. And God has definitely called you to be a leader here at Verve, if you are a part of this church. And we get lots of people who are new to faith and just kind of examining and investigating things. But if you're like, no, I'm a follower of Jesus, I believe in Jesus, I'm a part of this, God has called you to be a leader here at Verve. What we believe is that everyone at Verve is a leader or a potential leader. At Verve, we say that we are all about loving God, loving people, and turning the world upside down. What is a leader? A leader is someone who has a role where they are intentionally helping others to love God, love people, and turn the world upside down. And you are a leader or a potential leader. God has called you. In the Bible, he makes it absolutely clear that every Christian is called to serve and to lead. And you have, how cool is this? You have a role to play in God's mission. So, God calls Moses, and Moses responds by saying no. He gives God five excuses why he can't. We're going to walk through these five excuses, because I think what we're going to find is that the excuses Moses made thousands of years ago are the same excuses that we tend to make today, okay? So, excuse number one is, who am I? I'm a nobody. Why choose me? Verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses says, who am I? Like, why me? I'm no one special. I can't do this, which is reasonable, right? I guess you can understand it. He is being called by God to confront the king of Egypt and then lead 2 million people out of slavery through the wilderness to the promised land. That's a lot. And so Moses says, who am I? Who am I? I'm no one special. I can't. And he seems to think that God might change his mind when he hears that. That God might be like, oh, I didn't realize that you were a nobody. Whoops, sorry, wrong person. No. God knew that Moses was a nobody. And you might feel like you're a nobody. Why would God choose you for his purposes? Why would he make you a leader? Here's God's response to Moses. Next verse. And God said, I will be with you. Moses said, I'm a nobody. And God's like, you may be a nobody, but if I go with you, that will make you a somebody. And I am going with you. And that's the way it works with God. If you hang out with him, you go from being a nobody to being a somebody. And God loves to use ordinary people who don't feel qualified. Why? I think because they know that they need to have God with them to pull this off. And so God basically tells Moses, he says, don't worry, because I'm going with you, and because I'm going with you, people are all going to end up saying, like when you walk by, they're going to be like, wow, look, there's what's his name and God. Now, some of us don't want to be what's his name, right? It's like, no, I want to be the star. But listen, if we want to just do what we can do on our own, we're never going to accomplish true greatness. It's only when we decide to go with God that greatness becomes a real possibility. Excuse number two. I don't know what your name is. I don't know your name. Check it out. Next verse. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? So what's he really saying? He's saying, God, you're asking me to represent you, but I don't even really know you. Like, what if they ask me questions? I won't be able to answer any of them. Which, it actually makes sense, right? So remember, Moses grew up in the palace. Those people did not believe in God. He was not taught about God growing up. And you might feel the same way. Like, I don't know enough about God and all this stuff to be a volunteer at church, or to certainly to be a leader. Here's God's second response to Moses, verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. You guys thought Popeye made that up. He says, some of you don't know who Popeye is, apparently. He says, this is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Moses says, if they ask what your name is, I won't know what to tell them. Like, God's going to be like, oh, no, I don't know my name either. What do we do? You're right. No, God tells Moses his name. He's like, Moses, I'm right here. You can know me. And God wants you to know him, right? And listen, God has taken it one huge step further with us. So, like, he spoke to Moses from afar and told Moses his name, but we get to know God through Jesus. And Jesus came to take away most of the mystery of who God is, and so that we can be, like, intimate with God. So we can really say, listen, I know him. And that's our goal here at Verve. Not that we would know about God, but that we would really know God. And if you're kind of new to all of this and you are thinking, yeah, I don't know God. I don't even know much about God. Can I encourage you to go to Next Step? Next Step is offered every Sunday at 11:30, except this month. It's going to be back in August, every Sunday at 11:30, and it's a great opportunity for you to get to know God and to be given a path of knowing God and stepping into life that God has for you. Plan on going Next Step first Sunday in August. When we get back, be there. Excuse number three, Moses says, is what if they don't believe me? Chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Moses is like, what if they don't believe me? What if they reject me? Again, it's reasonable. You might wonder the same thing. Like, who am I to be a leader for God? Like, people who know me are going to be like, you, really? Now, here's God's third response. Next verse. Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. So it was like, remember, he was a shepherd. This was his big shepherding stick. And so then, I'll paraphrase because it gets kind of long. God tells Moses that he is going to enable him to use that staff, that stick, to do miraculous things. So, like, one of the things is the staff turns into a snake and then back into a stick. And he says that will prove, Moses, to people that God is really with you and that you are really representing God. God's like, listen, I've got this. And I will make sure that you have what you need when you need it. And for you, God's got this. He will, if you step up, he will give you what you need when you need it. And you may not have a stick that turns into a snake to prove that God is with you, but you do have a life. Right? You have a life, and it's a life that God can change and hopefully is changing. And when your life changes, it proves to people that God is real and he is really with you. Excuse number four. So verse 10, next verse. Moses said to the Lord, oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. So apparently Moses had a speech impediment. He says, but I'm slow of speech. And what that probably means is he stuttered. And this is a huge hang-up for Moses. It comes up over and over and over again. Later, when it's finally time and God says, go speak to Pharaoh now, Moses' answer in Exodus chapter 6, verse 12 is, why would Pharaoh listen to me since I speak with faltering lips? And then God tells Moses again, and there's another time, he says, all right, go talk to him again. And again, Moses says, this is what Moses said to the Lord, since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me? So Moses believes that he has an issue that will prevent him from being able to do what God is calling him to do. And you might feel like you have an issue that is preventing you from doing what God is calling you to do. Here's God's response, Exodus 4:11. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? And then next verse. Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Hear what God is saying. He's saying, Moses, did you forget that I made you? And I made you the way I wanted you. And you can do exactly what I need you to do. And God made you. And I know, maybe you can't speak like I can. Maybe you're not sexy like I am. We can't all be this much of a hard charger. It's okay. God made you the way he wants you, and he can do in you and through you exactly what he wants to do. It's not hard for him. He's not up in heaven going, how am I going to be able to work this one out, right? You just have to let go of your excuses and let him. Finally, here's the fifth and last excuse for Moses. Verse 13, this is kind of funny. But Moses said, oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. With the first few excuses, Moses was saying, I can't. And now he's running out of his excuses and he's like, I won't, right? He's being honest for the first time. It is a flat out unwillingness to do what God is asking him to do. And if we all just decided today, you guys just want to be really honest today? Like, could we do that? Like, really honest? I think, I know we all have excuses, right? Like, you don't know how busy I am, and I got these kids, and I'm not sure what to do, and I'm the wrong person, and you don't know my background, and I'm too new. But the reality is, God has got all that. And maybe the truth is not that we can't, but that we won't. The truth is, we're just flat out unwilling. So here's God's final response. Verse 14 says, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. Now, you might read that and think, that's kind of mean. Well, personally, I'm surprised that God didn't get angry earlier than this. Like, he has just given Moses the opportunity of a lifetime, the honor of getting to be a leader for him, the privilege of his life actually mattering in the course of human history. And Moses keeps making excuses and saying, no. Personally, I am very glad to find out that it takes five excuses before God finally gets angry. Here's the whole thing, verses 14 and 15. It says, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and teach you what to do. Moses says, just send someone else. And God says, I will send someone else with you. You have to do it, but you don't have to do it alone. And that is exactly what God's saying to us today. God says, listen, if you're a believer in Jesus, you have to do this. I have called every follower of Jesus, every Christian, to serve in my church. And maybe beyond that, maybe it's time for some of you to become leaders in my church. You have to do it. But you don't have to do it alone. I'm going to put you on a team. That's what the church is, my team. And you have a role to play. It's a role that fits you. I designed you for it. It fits your shape. And you never have to function outside of your strengths because, yes, you have to do it, but you don't have to do it alone. You know what's interesting? Maybe some of you like grew up in church. A lot of our people haven't, but maybe you're like, I know this story. I've heard this story before. But have you ever thought about this? So Moses makes all of these, who am I? I'm the wrong guy, but I can't. Excuses. But the truth is, Moses actually has a lot to offer. He has been shaped for this. He grew up in the palace, the adopted son of Pharaoh. Who better to go talk to Pharaoh? He has spent the last 40 years leading sheep through the wilderness. Who better to lead the Israelites through the wilderness to the promised land? He was shaped for this. But what's interesting is that God doesn't mention any of that. Right? When Moses is making his excuse, God could have said, could you check your resume for a second? Because actually, you're the perfect person for God never says that. Instead, God says, Moses, it's not about you. And it doesn't matter whether or not you have what it takes, because this is about me accomplishing my purposes. You have a role to play, Moses, but the plan and the power and the success of the mission, it's all on me. I've got this. I just need you to be willing. And maybe you need to hear that, because God is asking you, he's been asking you, to step up and to stop shrinking back. And you do have a lot to offer, whether you realize that or not. But even if you don't, that's fine, because confidence does not come from looking at yourself, but from looking at God. Not from you trying to think more of you. I'm harder. No, but from you understanding how big and powerful God is. And knowing that he has called you and he is with you. He has called you and he is with you. God has called every follower of Jesus, every Christian, to volunteer in his church. Beyond that, maybe you've been volunteering and God's calling you to step up and be a leader. Again, we believe that every person at Verve is a leader or a potential leader. We're all about loving God, loving people, and turning the world upside down. And a leader is someone who has a role where they are intentionally helping others to love God, love people, and turn the world upside down. You have a part to play in God's mission. If you're thinking, okay, I guess that's true, but I don't know what part I'm supposed to play. I don't know what it is. I get that. I was totally in that place once. I was new to all this, and I was like, I wouldn't know where to serve. I guess I'm willing. Where? We want to help you with that. That's why we do this thing where we encourage people to experiment, to try out, to kind of kick the tires, test drive a volunteer position. If you find out it's the right one, cool, perfect. You get on that team. You start serving consistently. If it's the wrong one, no problem. You try something else. We ask you to do what we call a first serve. A first serve means you're going to serve one time in a volunteer position as a test drive. If you like it, great, you're in. If you don't like it, you can say, nah, and then you'll try something else. You need to jump in and start serving even if you don't know where. It's so critically important for your life, and here's why. This is the way I always say it. In fact, some of you are going to be like, I've heard you say that before because I've told you one-on-one. Ready? Brilliance is coming. Sit down. You can't steer a parked car. Your response should be, duh. right? Like, really? We didn't know. You can't steer a parked car. You can't steer a parked car. And so people complain, I just don't know where God wants me, and I don't know what God wants me to do. Yeah, and you'll never figure it out if you just sit there. They say, yeah, I know, but once I figure out what God wants me to do, then I'll start doing it. Yeah, except it doesn't work that way. It's never worked that way. It doesn't work that way for anybody. You have to get moving to steer, to find your destiny. If you start moving and realize, this is the wrong thing. I'm not good at this. I don't like this. Recalculating, you just turn in a different direction and you try something else until finally you're like, I found it. It's this. But you're never going to find it. You will never get where God wants you to go. You will never get to where you want to go if you don't get moving. So jump in and start serving. I'm going to ask you to do it today. So you had a connection card in your seat. Here's where you put your contact information. On the other side, it says, I'd like to know more about, and there's a box that says volunteering. I'm going to ask you to check that, and I'm going to give you some positions where we could really use some more help. Like, we have some, like, spots on our team where it's like, we need some more volunteers. I'm going to ask you to pick one of them, put it in this box, and then we will contact you and set up a first serve where sometime in the next few weeks you'll be able to try it one time. So here's some spots where we really need help. We have a team called our frontline team, and you don't need to put that up right now. But on our frontline team, we need 8 new hosts. The hosts are people who are at the Welcome Center smiling and making you feel welcomed when you show up. And we need like 12 new baristas. So the new coffee bar area, sometime in the next like month or two, we're going to actually have people back there who are serving you and being smiley and giving you coffee. You might be like, I don't know how to make coffee, like special drinks and stuff. We train you for every position. That's not an excuse you get to use because we'll totally train you. So last week we talked about your shape, and part of that's your personality. If you're an extrovert, like you like being around people and energize you and you like to smile and meet new people, that would be either one of those. Being on the welcome, the host team, or on a barista at the coffee bar would be great. So you could write host team or you could write coffee bar or whatever, all right? We have a next gen team, and we need, on our next gen team, we need 10 new volunteers in our children's ministry. Some of them are Sunday morning spots, some are Monday night spots. You could choose what age kids you want to work with, and there's even a couple spots where you can be in the children's ministry and have nothing to do with children. So you might say, that's for me, yay. So we need 10 of those, and we need 10 new volunteers for our student ministry, which is on Thursday nights, but not during summer. So it'd kick off in the fall. And so we talked about shape, your heart. If you have a heart for kids, man, either children's ministry or student ministry would be an awesome place for you to start serving. We have a creative arts team, and we need 10 new people to do either setup, breakdown, or stage manager. Those are all positions where before or after a service, you will either get this room ready or get the stage ready. We'll train you on how to do that. And if your personality is a little more introverted, you're like, I'd rather just kind of be behind the scenes. I don't want to be out meeting a lot of people. Maybe you're very detail-oriented. Either of those positions, setup, breakdown, stage manager, it would be awesome for you. Almost all of those positions, you will volunteer once a month or maybe twice a month. You're not going to be overwhelmed with like, this is overtaking my life. It's going to be like an hour or maybe 2 hours a month. Now, I didn't see anyone writing. You should be like filling out your stuff. Now, here's the issue. Some of you are thinking, well, I look around the room. There's a lot of people. And I know we had several other services this weekend. And so, like, I don't serve. And by the way, we have a lot of people at Verve, it's a funny thing, who think they serve, but they just don't serve. They would be like, oh yeah, I volunteer here. And it'd be like, oh, what team are you on and who's your team leader? I volunteer here. It's like, if you're not on a team and you don't have a, if you can't identify your team and your team leader, you do not volunteer here. And so good that you think you do, but you don't. And so if you do, yay. Here's the deal. You're thinking, so he just listed like 50 new volunteers that are needed, and there's way more than 50 people in these services, and so they're good without me. Here's the problem. Most of the people are already serving, and so it's not like we're all available. Like I said earlier, 20% of most churches serve. Our church is a lot higher percentage of that, which is awesome for those of you who serve and those of you who serve not awesome. I'm kidding. Or am I? I don't know. And so we really need you. Like, we need everybody to say, I'm in. And I'll take one of those positions, okay? Some of you are like, I'm good. I don't need this card because I am serving, so I'm fine. What if maybe God's calling you to step up and become a leader? Like, you're on a ministry team. What if you said to your ministry team leader, hey, I've been volunteering on this team for a while. I think I might be ready to, like, become a coach. Like, I know they're like, coaches for the... I think maybe I could become a coach. Or, hey, I've been in a Verve group for a year or two. I think I could someday lead a Verve group. I need training and coaching and encouragement. Yep, we give all that. I think I could. And so that's one more big need that we have. We need 12 new Verve group apprentices for our fall semester. An apprentice means you're not leading the group. Someone else is, but you'll be like their assistant leader, and they'll provide some training, and we'll provide some training so that next year you could lead a group of your own. And so we need 12 new Verve group apprentices. You could write volunteering, Verve group apprentice. How cool would that be? Listen, God has called you. God has called you. Even though your superhero powers may not be that impressive, that's okay because he's got this, right? He's called you. He's put you on a team. We have a mission. Save the world. And guys, I promise you this. Nothing else you do in your life is going to be as important, significant, or fulfilling as what you do for God. I know we all have a lot of other stuff going on. You've got your job, and you got your team you're on, you got your kid. I know. But nothing else you ever do in life is going to be as important, significant, fulfilling as what you do for God. So, I guess I'll end by saying this. This is egg salad. The wife won't even let me touch it. It's filled with cholesterol. But it hardly seems to matter now because chances are we're already dead. There's no use calling the Calvary because of this moment. We are the Calvary. This is our fight. And whether we like it or not, it's just us few. This is our fight, and we are not your classic superheroes. We're not the favorites. We are the other guys. We're the guys no one ever bets on. We're the guys who are in over our heads, and we know it. But if we take on this fight, those of us who survive it will forever after show our scars with pride and be able to say, that's right, I was there. I fought the good fight. So what do you say? Do we all gather together and go kick some butt? Or do I eat this sandwich? Let's pray. You don't need to clap. God, what an honor, what a privilege. I've got egg salad on my hands, God. What a responsibility you've given us that, like, us, we are all messy and we are broken. I often feel like I am the messiest and most broken of all. And you look at us in our weakness and with our very limited abilities and nothing special, and you say, you have a role on my team. I am going to save the world, and I am going to use you to do it. God, it is the opportunity of a lifetime, and we do not want to miss out on this chance we have to do something that is eternally significant. And it is the most fulfilling thing we could ever do. And so, God, my prayer is that every single person in this room, literally every single person in this room, will say, I am in. I have not been volunteering, but I'm going to start. I can certainly do an hour to a month. And that some people are going to say, I've been volunteering that hour to a month, and I'm ready to step up and become a leader because God has called me. God, help us to be your team, your church, really loving you, loving people, and turning the world upside down and helping others to do that. God, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.